At Emory University, we believe in those with the ambition to achieve, the passion to learn, and the optimism to see the possibilities ahead. Founded on a belief that the wise heart seeks knowledge, an Emory education combines experiential learning in Atlanta and beyond with unrivaled collaboration and discovery, all to prepare you for a world that needs your leadership. Learn more at emory.edu.
Hello and welcome to the NITV News Podcast. New data from the Australian Institute of Health and Welfare has revealed the majority of children being held in detention are unsentenced. Between 2023 and 2024, up to 80% of children were on remand, meaning they were not granted bail and were being held in custody awaiting sentencing. In the Territory, almost every child in custody was on remand at one stage, reaching a high of 99%. In Queensland, that figure was 90%. The Health and Welfare report found First Nations children made up 65% of all children detained by state and territory governments.
This is incredibly concerning because what we are doing is sending children who require support, help, care, connection in the community into environments that we know cause harm and also that we know make it more likely that they will then go on to reoffend.
Meanwhile, Indigenous leaders and human rights lawyers have lodged a complaint with the UN about Australia's youth justice policies. The 54-page complaint says both state and federal governments have policies that are leading to racial discrimination and human rights violations against Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander children.
The worst outcome that we're seeing now is Aboriginal children taking their own lives and dying as a result of cruel, inhumane practices they're experiencing while incarcerated.
And if that story has raised concerns for you or anyone you know and you'd like to talk about it, you can connect with 13 Yarn on 13 92 76. It's free and is run by Mob for Mob. The Australian Securities and Investments Commission has put Australia's $4.1 trillion superannuation sector on notice, handing down 34 recommendations to improve death benefit claims. The investigation revealed excessive delays, poor customer service, and ineffective procedures have a disproportionate impact on First Nations families.
The financial regulator taking aim at Australia's multi-trillion dollar super industry over what he called the widespread neglect of its customers.
Not only do they suffer the stress of having to engage with a complicated process while grieving, but they may be denied access to money they are entitled to and to which they may need to pay bills, ongoing living expenses, or even funeral costs.
Findings by ASIC show an overwhelming number of complaints by grieving Australians related to poor customer service and excessive delays to death benefits.
We found 78% of the claim files that we reviewed were delayed by processing issues within the trustee's control.
The 10 superannuation funds under review represent about 38% of all member benefits in Australia, excluding two industry giants already facing legal proceedings over their handling of death and disability claims. The peak industry body conceding more needs to be done.
We don't want to be the sector that's compounding grief.
ASIC found First Nations communities waited significantly longer for claims to be closed and that communication was often not culturally sensitive, highlighting one case where a trustee took more than 500 days to pay a death benefit of around $100,000 to a First Nations woman grieving the loss of her husband.
I can think of examples where people just give up. Because you can only try so hard to access something that is yours and hit so many barriers before you stop trying.
Removing barriers for First Nations claimants was among ASIC's 34 recommendations, advocates saying it's time for change.
We've been working with banks for years on making money accessible for First Nations people and making the process accessible. Superannuation companies are still back at the starting line.
The industry noting progress has been made.
But it's not an easy read and we are really sorry for all the stress that has been caused.
The funds themselves are yet to respond to ASIC's findings.
Floodwaters, described as twice the size of Victoria, are covering outback Queensland. It's the worst flooding in 50 years, with towns cut off, stock killed and stranded. The big wet is coming from ex-tropical cyclone Diane that crossed the Kimberley coast last Thursday night. Falls of more than 100 millimetres have been recorded in some parts, with 1 year's worth of rain being dumped in just a few days across the state's central and western regions. The water is also flowing south via the Paroo and Warrego rivers to New South Wales, where remote communities like Ingonia are being warned by the SES that they could be isolated for weeks. In Queensland, helicopters are being used to rescue people and to move stock from the floodwaters.
Trying to keep those stock that are still alive, alive. So we're dropping fodder to those stock and trying to move them off wet ground onto to dry some dry ground or to higher ground.
In western Queensland, the catchments have seen record rainfall and floodwaters, and those floodwaters are now draining into New South Wales. Northern New South Wales can expect flooding to flow into the state from now into the coming weeks.
There's been an outpouring of grief and shock following the sudden passing of former AFL star and presenter of NITV's Yokai Footy, Andrew Cracker. He was 42. Family, colleagues and teammates have paid tribute, speaking of his warmth, generosity and compassion.
A natural on the football field, Andrew Cracker was a reluctant TV personality. After guest appearances on the Marn Brook Footy Show, he moved into co-hosting Yokai Footy and quickly found his feet.
Do not ask us or expect us to laugh in the face of racism and disrespect anymore.
Andrew passed away suddenly yesterday at his home in Perth of a suspected heart attack, his death prompting an outpouring of grief and tributes. Former Richmond player Matthew Richardson described him as a beautiful man who was loved by all his teammates. Current GWS player and former Swan Districts teammate Stephen Canelio said, "You overcame so much of your own adversity, only to give back to mine and many others." Andrew Cracker was drafted to Richmond Football Club in 2000 as an 18-year-old. He played 102 games with the Tigers before being delisted in 2007. In 2008, he was convicted of an assault and has spent more than a year in jail. It was a turning point for the then 26-year-old, who was also a father of two.
I just felt like that I came out on the other side of that journey and that experience, you know, more rounded person, more mature person, and just ready to try to make amends for the mistakes I made in the past.
He returned to football with Swan Districts in the Waffle and in 2010 won the Sandover Medal for Player of the Year and the Simpson Medal for Best Player in the Grand Final.
He was exemplary. He was a model citizen. He just put his head down. He worked really hard, both at his game, but also, you know, to provide well for his family. And he commented on that on a number of occasions, that, you know, I need to make sure I'm going to provide well for my family.
That form saw him recruited by Collingwood, where he played 23 games in his first season, including the 2011 grand final loss to Geelong. He also took Mark of the Year for this spectacular grab in round 9 against Adelaide. Injuries and a drop-off in form saw Andrew Cracker delisted in 2013. After a few years working construction, his incisive football knowledge saw him move into TV.
Andy was a beautiful soul. When he came into the room, he was always so happy, and he would greet everybody from, you know, people that just like cleaning or like just working in the building, to producers, sound people, wardrobe, like just everybody. He just had so much love for everyone, and he made sure that everyone felt really special.
Andrew Cracker is survived by his wife and two daughters. Michael Park, NITV News.
To the weather forecast now, Meanjin, Brisbane, heading for 25 degrees and rain. In Warrane, Sydney, partly cloudy and 24. Ngunnawal, Ngambri Country, Canberra, also 24. Cooler in Naarm, Melbourne, 22. Cool as well for Nipaluna, Hobart, 20 degrees, while Tandanya, Adelaide, is headed for 27. To Impantua, Alice Springs, where it will be 23 with possible rain. Warm in Boraloo, Perth, 31 degrees, and Garamilla, Darwin, 32 and showers. And that's all for now. I'm Luana Grant. For more Indigenous news, tune into NITV News weeknights at 6:30 p.m. and stay tuned right here on NITV Radio for all the latest news updates.